All right, the Lord is good. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the gathering of your people. I thank you because of the blessing that you have proposed, which is the reason why we are all gathered. I ask, Father, that your spirit will be as usual and in greater measure also mightily present to endow your people with wisdom and understanding and to lead them in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Lord, give everyone understanding hearts and give me, Lord, a free tongue to declare only what your spirit wants us to know. In Jesus' name, the Lord is good. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin. It said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware," or King James says, "ignorant." It says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols. However, you were led." That is, it wasn't you. Somebody showed you the pathway. All right? So what you have as understanding is dependent upon what the other person had as confusion, if you know what I'm trying to say. He said, "Therefore, I make known to you," that is, I'm introducing the new order. I'm giving you the proper understanding. "That no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit." Let me, I won't read everything before I start passing comments. Is that all right? Now, what I want to just, let me explain a few things here. Verse 1, Paul was trying to explain what he said is that concern, literally in the Greek, he says, "Now concerning spiritual things," or concerning the spiritual, or concerning the realm of the spirit. If you see in verse 1 there, if you have a Bible that uses the word gifts, either you use New American Standard like I'm using, or you use a King James Bible, the word gifts will be in italics. Now, can you notice that? Yes. Now, just for those of us who do not know, I wish to explain it. Anytime you see the Bible put something in italics, what it's saying is that when the original Greek manuscript, because New Testament was translated from Greek, that word does not exist in the Greek language, in the text of Scripture, but was supplied, they call it ellipsis, it was supplied to make sense out of it. Now, I don't discard it easily, because it's supplied by scholars, people who've read it in context, and without that expression, they will not be able, you will not be able to understand what the whole thing is about. But literally what it said is that concerning spiritual brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware. Now that doesn't make sense in English, but then I like to say to you so that you'll be able to get the concept behind it. That is, he said, I want to talk about spiritual things. That's why you will see some translations who rather use the word spiritual things rather than spiritual gifts. And that's the fact that what he's talking about is about spiritual things, things that have to do with the realm of the spirit, things that are beyond the natural occurrence of things. And he wanted to begin to discuss about that. And he said, before now, this is the point, everybody, all right, people that knew about spiritual things, they only knew what the practices, the idolatrous practices in their societies dictated. So you see, a lot of things that people express, okay, they try to convert things of idolatry into Christianity because they were led in a particular form. I remember one man was preaching once and he was trying to talk about money. And, you see, Pastor Bank, what's your problem with this money thing? It's just that he's so talked about that I can't help it, all right? Everywhere I go, I hear it. I think TV, it is there. But this one I want to say is not because I'm angry with people who talk about money too much. There's nothing wrong with talking about money, but too much of everything is bad. If you talk about the Holy Spirit too much, it can be too much. Once it's too much, it is because it's too much. You understand what I'm saying? But this one, I'm just going to talk about things. This one, because it really happened. The man was describing why it is good to give to God. And listen, let me just say this. I think, go and read my track, Cheerful Giver. Any believer that's not a generous giver is an idiot. That's the summary of it. Do you get my point? I don't need to say beyond that. If you live only for yourself, you spend, I don't have enough money, this is all I have, just for me and me and me alone. Something worry you for head and for neck also. Do you get what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, you are not of faith. You are not likely to prosper in life. And that's scripture. Do you get my point? What I'm just angry with people concerning is that when they say that you can't get anything out of God until you give him first, I say it's not true. When you want something from God, what do? You ask him, but you cannot have faith in your heart. That's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, to explain the power of having faith, that is the ability to believe. That comes naturally and easily to the man who's of a generous heart, who's of a generous spirit. Abraham's faith was built into him by God, partly because God saw the kind of character that he had in his soul. Are you getting my point? That is, a giver actually is a good person, all right? Even the Bible tells that for a righteous man, nobody will die. He said, but for a good man, some may even agree to die. That is, there's a difference between righteousness and goodness. A generous man is a good man. It's different from a righteous man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Righteous is that you are doing things correctly. Goodness is that you go beyond that which the law demands, and you do something. It costs you, but you help somebody else. And there's a special blessing upon people who are generous givers. That's a matter of fact. I need to say this, so you don't think that I'm against it at all. No. I think, in fact, I feel funny. What we'll preach sometimes, we preach, bring money to people who are wicked. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You see a wicked man sitting down, he will never give anything to anybody. So as to take out of him, I start cajoling him. Do you know you can double your money you have in 1 week if you just release it unto the Lord? God can, you are preaching to a wicked man. A kind man, you don't need to do that. You just tell him simply, brethren, this is the work of God. We need money to do it. And like the Macedonians, the Bible said they gave out of the depths of their poverty. Yes. You don't need to beg them. So what are we supposed to do as Christians? We convert wicked souls to good souls first. Are you getting my point? We don't leave him in his wickedness and start appealing to his fleshly and unregenerated nature so as to get out of his hands. What do? We preach the word of truth to him. You see, we convert his soul by the teaching of the truth of God. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the truth that changes people. Sanctify means to make holy. A man who was living for himself before, you convert him to one who's living for God. Why? By the preaching of truth. Are you getting my point? That is, as far as God is concerned, he doesn't want the money that the stingy man wants to give, because there's an evil spirit inside the money. The spirit following it is wicked. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that is why, as a preacher, you don't want... The Bible says that God is acceptable according to what a man has. For God loves a cheerful giver. Read that tract, Cheerful Giver. It's I think, one of the most powerful tracts I ever wrote. Because I explained to people that cheerful giving is not about dancing. Hey, give. Hey, dance as you are giving. That's not cheerful giving. A man who's a cheerful guy can be asleep and he gives in his sleep and he's cheerfully giving. There are a lot of people who are dancing. Their dance is like, God, just take the 1,000 naira. It's 1 million naira. That's our deal. And they are dancing onto the 1 million. It's not a cheerful giver. That's a thief-free giver. You know what I'm saying? A stealing giver, a covetous giver. Okay? So, now that's digression. Now, let me now see my message. What was I trying to say? So this man was preaching about money. He came to raise money, and that's what he was trying to do. But he now began to explain something. Why one should give generously? There are sometimes here that they want to harm people, and they have gone like Balaam. I mean, he turned to something like Balaam, that they've gone to a high mountain to go and sacrifice a goat so as to harm somebody else. Offer unto the gods. And these things, again, they are spiritual. Are you getting my point? They are not jokes. They really happen. And you see an account of it in scripture that Balaam was trying to harm the children of Israel. You know that. And he began to make sacrifices. So the man was trying to explain that, you see, sometimes people say they have gone to sacrifice goats. He said, by the time you are sacrificing a cow, I have sacrificed a car. Now, which one is more expensive, a cow or a car? That is, they bury cow because of people. He said, me, I have already given an offering of a car. What is the cost of a Mercedes Benz compared to the cost of a cow? When I heard that, I said, this is ritual ignorance. It's not the cost, it's the blood. A car doesn't have blood, a cow does. If you want to warfare on such premises, you've lost before you started. A man will sacrifice chicken and kill you. If you like, sacrifice a skyscraper. Because there is blood inside the one he's sacrificing. Your own hasn't got blood.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what I'm going to bring out here is this. That he said, you know that you were, that when you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you were led. Paul was explaining that people come, they want to understand spiritual things in Christianity. They start using pagan principles. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that's what this man was doing. He thinks the completion of the size of your offering. But in Christianity, it is not the competition of size of offering. The point is that if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. That's number one. The Bible says that your life is hid with Christ in God, sacrifice or not. You get what I'm going to say? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Sacrifice or not. Are you getting what I'm going to say? When Balaam was offering sacrifices, the children of Israel were sleeping. So it's not a battle of before your enemies come to harm you, give a great offering. That, you see, to me, that's the ridicule of Christianity. It is absolutely ridiculous. Paul said the problem is that we want to talk about spiritual things. We are re-educating people who the only knowledge they had about spiritual things were taken from dumb idols. Do you get my point? People sometimes want to preach the principles of Christianity. They will now explain to you that in the realm of the occult, this is how they do. That's their problem. They were led onto what? Dumb idols. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make from here? So Paul said, now, let me now explain spiritual experiences to you. Therefore, I make known to you, he says, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God. Now, he was talking about people speaking under a spiritual influence. All right? Can say Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except he is speaking. Now, I'm paraphrasing now. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, people can get up and talk anyhow. And say they can act movie. You've seen people who don't believe in God speaking in tongues during movies. You've seen it. Do you get my point? That, so they are just playing. But Paul is describing here when there are spiritual experiences. A spiritual manifestation. One who claims to is prophesying. And you see the fellow is under the influence of the Spirit. Dare him to say Jesus is Lord. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's why you know the man I'm always laughing about. He can preach all he wants to preach. Tell him to tell us the day he gave his life to Christ. He does not know. Tell him to tell us what happened to him as a young believer. There's no story. The man is not spiritual. Forget all that one. Let me not even go into his own story. But I'm explaining what Paul is saying here. That when we're talking about manifestation of the Spirit, it's impossible for a spiritual occurrence to be happening. Not by the Spirit of God, and the person is able to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. That's what he was saying. Alright? Now, let's just go on. He was still introducing. Now, part of the introduction now goes ahead to say, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, please, let me just read in the Amplified Bible there. It said, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments or gifts and extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. It said, due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'll explain that in a moment. I just read that from the Amplified Bible to help us understand something. Now, so he said that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Bible says that we have gifts that differ, all right, according to the grace given to us. The next line, I'll explain some more about this. And there are varieties of ministries. That's verse 5. And the same Lord, that is, each person has an assignment. The first one, he talked about the fact that each person has an endowment. Now, no matter the endowment that they have, how varied it is, beyond that, we also have different uses of that endowment. That is, a man may prophesy, all right, and another man might teach. Another man might have the ability to make unique inventions. These are all manifestations of the Spirit. Are you getting my point? He said, but what each person uses his own for, again, is different. One man will prophesy and is prophesying against government. Tunde Bakare, case in point. Do you understand my point? He's a prophet. And believe me, if you didn't know before, the man actually has a calling to do what he's doing. If you try it, oh boy, and God didn't send you, in fact, you will know that it's against divine principle. and divine order to speak against government except God specifically commissions you to do that. It's against it. That's why you will get into trouble. You will, because you are breaking his divine law. All right? What you are supposed to do is to pray for the government. All right? I used to tell people that I never one day spoke against Abacha. One day until he died, I never did. It was against the law of God. I never did it. All right? Yes, that's a matter of fact. But Nebaka, they will go on TV and say anything he likes. He has a kind of gift to you I didn't have. I knew a lot of prophets who tried that and they got into trouble. All right? People like him, the kind of endowment of the gift of God that follows him, be afraid. Do you follow what I'm saying? You don't just copy them anyhow. It's still prophesying. But then, ministry refers to what God has commissioned you to do. Are you getting my point? Spiritual Goodson used to say something. That I know so much about God, so much more than I'm able to teach. Because if I teach them those things, I lose the ability to win souls. Do you get what I'm saying? He's a preacher. But when it comes to teaching, if he reads Spiritual Goodson's books, you wonder what he's trying to say. But the man was heavily anointed, power in his hand. I'm talking about ministries. People have different things that God commissioned them to do. All right? Now, I like the way it says in Amplified verse 5, it said, there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so that's what he was saying now. I said, and there are diversities. That's the verse 6. Now, let me go back to the New American Standard again. Verse 6. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. He has said three things here. Number one, the ability that God gives to people differ. Number two, where he sends them or how he expects them to use the ability, they differ. And number three, what you will see as a consequence of what they have done also differs. But it's the same God who is working all things in all persons. Now, what he was saying here is that, you see that Paul plants, Apollos watered. We've discussed that one before. But who gave the increase? God. So the kind of manifestation you see is not dependent upon whether it's Paul that planted or was Paul's planting or Apollos watering. What matters is that they have done what God said they should do. Then God now does what he wants to do as a result, okay, of their administration. That's what it means when it says God that works all things in all persons. Do you follow? You know, then in the summary of everything is in verse 7. Now, whatever it is that we are seeing, whether it is gifts, whether it is ministries or services, how we use it, or the effect that we find once we have done what God said we should, how God said we should use our gifts in where he sent us to use it, is that whatever it is we see, the summary of it in verse 7 is this: to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Are you noticing that? That is, every experience you see is a manifestation of the Spirit, and God gives it in such a manner that it blesses everyone. He said, he now began to tell us those manifestations. Or I don't know whether to put it as gifts now or whatever. But from verse 8, we now see him itemizing 9 different things, which have been classified into power gifts, utterance gifts, and revelatory gifts. He said, to one is given the word of wisdom. We'll discuss what each one is. And to another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Okay, now he's talking about the varieties of gifts that people use. To one is given the word of wisdom. That's a gift because it's talking about by the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting or the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing or discerning of spirits. He said, to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of these tongues. That's what he was saying. He said, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. I don't think it's easy to explain that without reading the next line. He said, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. We'll continue from verse 13 after we finish discussing this one. Now, what's he explaining? If I read from verse 12, what Paul was saying in effect, you know, one of the things we find these days about Christianity, I want to just explain that, is that people tend to camp around gifts. I don't know whether you get what I mean. That is, if you find a man who prophesies heavily, he builds a church around the ability to prophesy. That is, on Sundays, people go to the church and they become members of the church where the man prophesies a lot. Now, let me tell you, it's actually an error. You see, we can see things so commonly, we don't know how wrong they are. Then there's another church in which all we do here is evangelism. So you go to church, all it's all centered around evangelism. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Because a man has gift. There's a particular man of God in this country. I'll give you as an example. I won't mention his name. Don't worry. You can't even get me to tell you who I'm talking about. I've been around a bit. I hear things here and there, and I remember them because it helps me explain the word of God, and it teaches me, actually. The man was an evangelist. What you and I call an evangelist. You go around, work miracles, convert people to Christ, preach to large multitudes. Another bigger man of God than him, where I heard later, kept on emphasizing to him that you need to start a church. And that one refused for a very long time. You need to start a church. And that one refused for a very long time. And then one day, finally, the man started the church. And the church began to grow. When I heard the story, I said, that's an error. In my mind, now I can't judge the things of other people so much. I just have an opinion. I said, no, that's not right. No. In my mind, I just said, no, this is not right. Well, the church kept on growing. And somebody, depending on narrating the story to me, said that after I started that church, his ministry just exploded. I said, no, that's not proof that he did the right thing. The one that springs up quickly doesn't have deepness of earth. So don't be impressed by sudden results. In my mind, no. The fact that you can preach doesn't mean you must gather people and call them your own and it becomes a church. Okay, let me say this to you. Now, there are ideal things. Ideal things sometimes are difficult to practice, but at least we must know what is ideal so that we don't get stuck with the management that God is allowing us to manage. As things improve, we can get better. What we practice in denominationalism right now, in the body of Christ, is not ideal. But are you saying, stop all denominations? No, it won't work the other way anyway. Do you get what I'm saying? Deeper life people cannot go to church without the rock people. It's not possible. God will not even come there. When they gather like this, God says, no, I don't know these people. No, even God won't show up. Because the amount of disagreement in their hearts, yeah, God won't come now. God will not come. He said, Gabriel, please, I have other things to do. Those people, once they enter church, and I saw the ladies could just look at each other like this. Look at you, Jezebel. Look at you, wife of John the Baptist. Now, so they could look at each other. So, I know it won't work. But at least you know what is ideal, all right? The reason why it won't work is because everybody is crazy. That is the reason why it won't work. It is not because it is not right. Because all of them are not normal. That's the reason why it won't work. All of us, don't let me say all of them. All of us, all right? We're all together in this our madness. So this is the point I'm making. No, really, it's a matter of fact. And I'm telling you. Now, the ideal thing, actually, is that the ideal thing is that you should be one church in a place like Enugu. Churches are meant to be located by geography, not by denomination. Do you get my point? That is, the Okan man cannot come to church here. It doesn't make sense. Do you follow my point? So in Enugu, there will be a church. And then in Enugu, there will be branches everywhere. Simply because all of us shouldn't get up and start checking all the way to Okanano because we want to go for service. Those in Trang Sekulu can have their branch, but we're all members of one body. Do you get my point? Now, you now have gifts operating that differ individually, which is one reason why I do what I do. All right, which is the reason why I announced like I announced. This is Kingdom World Ministries. It's a non-denominational teaching ministry. Do you understand? I go to church on Sundays, but on Saturdays, I exercise my gift accordingly. So whether you're a Baptist, you're Anglican, you're a Catholic, you're a Pentecostal, whatever it is that you are, all right, if you see yourself as a member of that body, you can go and listen to the gift of God in Pastor Banky. Are you getting my point? And then after that, you go back to where you came from. All right, I don't need you to be my member to be blessed by me. Because I, you know, like I was saying, was it on Saturday or on Monday? I don't know. I said, no, there's no head of any denomination that died for me. None. I'm in Enugu now. I attend House on the Rock. I came from Lagos. I attended House on the Rock for a few services. In all my 7 or 8, I went to Lagos in 1993. I left in 2000. 7 years I was in Lagos. I can count the number of services I went for in House on the Rock, Lagos. Do you get my point? I leave town now. Nobody's even expecting that yet. You can't guarantee that I'll go to another and say, please, where's the House on the Rock church here? The same way I arrived here, all right, is how I arrived to the next place. If tomorrow I get leave here and they say, okay, you are going to worry, I'll get to worry and just go to where I feel at home. Are you getting the logic? Why? There is no head of any denomination that died for me. None. Except God calls me for certain reasons to work with you, I can't give you any commitment. I can't. No, that's the principle. Look, people don't like to hear it. It's their personal problem. In fact, you know one of the things that God did for me is very, very good. Listen, when I was on campus, my fellowship was called Light of Christ Community Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Let any Pentecostal who taught me on campus come and lay claim now. Look, listen, my brethren, that time I wasn't married. No, we come very, very, we come from a friendly group of people. I wasn't married. I remember Momian was telling me one day, he said, Banky, he said, look, don't think you can just bring wife from anywhere for us. We have to find a wife for you by ourselves. You know, like, you are our property. He said, and she made a statement which touched my heart, actually. He said, after all the labor we labored on you, somebody will just appear from somewhere, come and reap the reward of our labor. He said, we'll not go agree. I knew what she was saying. Now, you see, because, no, well, wonderful people. Well, God solved all her problems by giving me my wife from the midst of these people. Do you get what I'm saying? Otherwise, it would have been a problem for me. But of course, it's not that she was just speaking because there are members amongst us that their wives or their husbands didn't come from the midst. We're not making a rule. In fact, that would be evil in itself. All right? But I'm just using that story to let you understand that nobody can now demand anything of me. You were not even there when we're being taught these fundamental truths of the gospel. One of my colleagues, Dr. Nzegu, if you get to this in UNEC here, I tell people that the first day I entered that fellowship, he was teaching Bible that day. That day I entered, he was there dissecting scripture in front. If I mention names of people from here and there, friends who will come and say, Banky, you haven't heard this message, you haven't heard anything. Take. And all of them, some pastor in this kind of denomination, some are businessmen here, they are in different places. I really enjoyed relating with them. There are those who are big men in some big churches. Some are in Redeem. Some are in Christ Embassy. And they're in their own kinds of places. If you are crazy enough to want to lay claim upon their life, something really must be wrong with your head. You should ask yourself, where did they come from? Where was I when they were coming from those places? You follow what I'm trying to say? You see, that's what I'm going to bring out something about different gifts. All right, each person has an ability. The mistake we make these days is that people build denominations around it. So that particular man was telling you about, what happened is that he now built a denomination. They say his ministry now exploded. Years later down the line, he had terrible crisis, the type you don't want to hear about. People were saying, how could he, in my mind, all that came to my mind. I said, see, these quick results I've won is not good. I know this is Banky's assessment. Like Paul would say, but I think I have the spirit of God. I'm not judging him. I'm not angry with him. He's not my servant. But I just observed the kind of thing that opened people up to these kind of troubles. As far as I am concerned, it was when he agreed to settle down and build a congregation around his gift. It was not necessary. Rehum Bokni does not pastor a church. He's all over the world. Which church did Billy Graham pastor? I don't know. Kennedy Hagin. Few people blessed their generations like he did. He stopped pastoring as a young man. Ken Hagin Ministries never, it was later his son had a church on the premises. Just used to attend like everybody else. But he was going everywhere, preaching, teaching the word of God. He wrote many books, scores of books, all right? He hundreds of, thousands of his messages all over the world. He started Rima Bible Training Center, training ministers for 2 years and sending them to every continent of the earth. And he used to warn, please, if you want to wait, don't call us. We don't wait people. Want to do baby dedication, don't come here. Go to your church. Don't you go to church somewhere. That's the emphasis. Go to church somewhere, but come and partake of our gifts. And he used to go from one church to the other. From one church to the other, teaching the word of God. Are you getting my point? This is, we have this evil that we are perpetrating amongst ourselves. One man builds a denomination around him, trains people under him, and they recycle themselves. We call it recycling. You recycle yourself from one branch to the other. When I'm saying, I don't mean that posting pastors, that's not what I'm talking about. That the pastor of the Lagos church will go and preach in the Abuja church. Then the pastor of the Port Harcourt church goes to preach in the Owerri church. It's only them all of them cross-fertilizing, descendant of only one man. That man doesn't make mistakes, so get the point. He doesn't make mistakes. He's infallible as far as doctrine is concerned. And that's what they say. And he's silly enough to believe it. That's your problem. You won't find me. There's places you won't find me at all. You won't find me there at all. Go and study genetics. There's what we call inbreeding. Inbreeding is a terrible thing. Those of you who have studied biology to that level. Inbreeding is a terrible thing. For those of you who don't know what inbreeding is, let's assume you have dogs. Papa dog and mama dog, born puppy dogs. You know, animals are animals. They will grow up. They don't know who's whose father, whose mother. They'll start mating again. Then you see, they are getting, they are a clan of papa dog and mama dog. By the time they're reaching a few generations, the offsprings will start dying. They have become weak. To prevent that, what you do is that you separate them. You bring dogs from elsewhere to cross the ones that are in here. And they will remain strong. Otherwise, you are doing what they call inbreeding. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, what we do in Christian Sunday, we inbreed. I teach you something. Only me can teach you. The rest of you don't know anything. You can't dare come to my pulpit and quote that you heard somebody else. What did they do you? I, Pastor Mankey, I know everything. On the Holy Spirit, I'm the authority. On Second Coming of Christ, I wrote the Bible in that area. On spiritual gifts, nobody knows more than me. Marriage, I'm a professor. Prosperity, I wrote all the theses. At the end of the day, you need nothing more in life than me. I told you I heard the man of God preach. Am I not your pastor? Am I not your prophet? Am I not your teacher? Am I not your evangelist? I said, Oga, you know the VSF. Only you. Don't you think your head will just explode one day? Bishop Oedipo said some of those days that make us laugh. He said, there's nothing more. He said, look, if they give you an office that is, it was not to say that there are different between oversized shoes and oversized caps. That if you start, living larger than yourself, or you take up a responsibility that's bigger than you. He said, that's oversized shoe. That's the way he explained it. But the one I remember is what they call it, is oversized cap. He said, a man with oversized shoe can see where he's going, just that he can't move easily. He said, but the one with oversized cap, he can't see anything. Because his cap is bigger than his head. So it drops, over his shoulders. He said, what's an oversized cap? It's when you give a man a title bigger than him. Bishop, doctor, professor, supreme evangelist, and most superior teacher, woman. And he sees actually silly enough to wear a robe, that shows the power, the gift he has. He said, the problem with some people is that when he's supposed to sit down and learn, he doesn't. Someone was telling me about one pastor in Abuja. One day he invited the pastor of Winners to come and preach. And the pastor of Winners told him that, look, he just suggested, your pastor is a very, very nice man. He said, how do I know? He said, because every Sunday, when he will finish his service and run out of church to go and attend service in Winners. He's a pastor of a big church. If I tell you the name, you'll be surprised. Pastor of 1,000 congregation. Settled pastor, the kind of pastor that if he's from other people, the head will have been, they have to, will have been on this level. They will have to elongate his neck for how big he's feeling with himself. This guy will sneak to the other church and go and learn what he doesn't know. His own midweek service is on Wednesday. Their own is Tuesday and Thursday. So he goes to their church on Tuesdays and Thursdays and comes to his own church on Wednesday. So the pastor said, of course, the pastor of the other church, of Winners, that one used to see him. But so as to, it wasn't my time, so he didn't want to embarrass him. He used to ignore him. So it was the day the guy invited him to his own church to come and preach. Then not everybody said, your pastor think I don't see him. I see him. I just leave him alone so as not to embarrass him. The guy will come in gently like every, that is, no special seat, nothing. Just walk in like everybody else. Sit down somewhere with his notes and his Bible. And at least, I don't know everything. What other people, know that I don't know, I should go and learn it. Remember one day one man of God came to town. I told my wife, I can't miss any of the services. Everyone, in fact, there was one day like this here. The man was going to preach that evening. It was Saturday. So I was preaching. Praise God. I said everything wrong that day. You know why? Because my mind wasn't here. I was checking the time. Because I had to close. I had to go and hear something. That was somebody that could teach me something, I would talk after some time. Even the recording, the computer crashed. I said, the computer was in the recording. Crashed. As soon as we finished, wow, the thing crashed. I said, praise God. I knew this thing wasn't going to work. As not a village, I just ran downstairs, entered my car, and went to the other person who was teaching. Abba, hey. No, seriously. I knew that day, I wasn't supposed to be here. I just managed to rush everything. The whole thing scattered. I preached upside down. What I preached that day didn't make sense. There's no record of it till today because where we're recording on the computer spot, I said, praise God. Jetted out somewhere. Yeah. Let me go and hear something. It's true. You think you know everything, you won't live long. Believe me, you won't. You will not. All right? So, I'm going to explain something. So, that's the principle. That what Paul was explaining is this. You see, we're all one body. So, each person has a gift and is used for the common good. Are you getting the point I'm making? But the mistake we make now is that we now want to use it for our own good. You know? It's just our church is only us alone. Everybody that shows up, we have a new member. Look, he's not a member. He heard you can teach. He heard you can prophesy. So he came to take a part because the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. You get the point? And that's the point. So I was saying that the ideal thing is ideal. We can't reach there, but then we can get there in spirit. We may not all be members of Church of Christ Enugu, but in spirit we can be. Do you follow my point? I go somewhere, I say, oh, look at what these people are doing here. They have a program. I check, who's coming to teach? I heard this man, the professor, now prophet. Don't think when I stay on that ministry of prophet before. I don't know the church. I'm not a member of the church. I don't go there normally. But they have a special program. Okay, this man, they are bringing this prophet from Ghana. It's a prophetic meeting. Pastor Mark says, you don't prophesy usually. Why don't you go and chop from from others who can prophesy? So we all go there and go and sit down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You jump, clap at the end of the day. You don't need an introduction. Oh, we have Pastor Bank in our midst today. Why? You have another brother Bank in your midst today. He came to hear. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. Yes. You just go and identify. Those are when I first go to Lagos. Let me tell you, after youth service. My youth service period was such a lean season. So as soon as youth service ended and I got to Lagos, you know what I used to do? As I'm walking on the road, I will see a poster. I will bring out a piece of paper. You know, I was a JJC in Lagos. I'd never really been to Lagos before, apart from once or twice, you know. I was what they call JJC. You know, this one, BJC, Banky Just Come. All right, there's just Johnny Just Come. There's Banky Just Come. I didn't know anywhere. So what I would do is I would take paper and look, I would write, write the address down. And I'd go home, the way I was staying with my relations. And then I would now ask the driver, Edo, I said, I beg. How did they get to this place? The man will tell you take your bus from here, you go here, take it, cross a bridge, do this, you work out good like this, as it's described, thank you very much. And that the particular day, I get up and go to the place. That's how I went for Maurice Cerullo's meeting at Trem. Okay? Maurice Cerullo himself was not around. His second in command came. I was there. That's how come I was in his meeting where Ron Kenoly taught. That's how come you will find me in places where people like Noah Woodruff was teaching. When Ron Kenoly came that time with my JJC nature, I used to get back home at 12 midnight because it was what do you call it? First stack. What do you call that place? I forgot. CCIC or something like that. Somewhere. That's how, look, long distance. Church will end around 10:30. The Mulu will carry all of us. Mile 2. It was, from mile 2. No, mile 12. Yes. And then down to Oshodi. From Oshodi, you will come trek down. If you don't find vehicle, now to trek down to Association Avenue. That's where I was staying there. Did I care whose denomination it was? No, it was none of my business. I went everywhere, like I always say, listening to the word of God. Anywhere I saw teaching, that's how I used to do it. Though. I used to go around writing, copying addresses from posters. This man came to the town that time, Emeka Omashuka. I was there. We just go around. The church you came from is your personal problem. It doesn't concern me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Once I feel like you have something that is going to be a blessing to me, it's not as if that man is not in our church. No, there are churches that nobody preaches who's not a member of the church. No matter how great and big you are, don't come in. But it's not right. It's not right. All right? So that's the point I'm just trying to make. Building gifts, but building congregations around gifts is not right. Now, let's now describe what you find. Now, before I go on, let me just say something. The only person I've seen settle down to analyze this in a manner that has been a blessing to me, which I was able to understand, even though everything I'm going to tell you may not be in total agreement with the things that he said, But the place I have seen it exhaustively discussed is Kenneth Hagin. He talked about Holy Spirit and his gifts. He talked about he gave gifts unto men. I'm talking about different books. Holy Spirit and his gifts. He gave gifts unto men. Ministry gifts. Those are just a few examples. And all his books here and there. He discussed these things. Now let's take them one by one. He said, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now please let me say this again. Paul said that before now, you were accustomed to the way the idol worshippers did these things. And let me say it again. Spiritual things are real. Are you getting my point? Idol worshippers do things. When Moses went into Egypt, what did he do? He cast down his sword and turned to what? Serpent, snake. The Egyptian magician looked and said, it's not a small thing now. Now bring me one rod there. Different styles. They threw them for ground. Moses, you feel me, snake. See my own. Alright? The first few miracles that Moses did, they replicated. One of the ways by which God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Because what Moses did, it was after a while that Moses now went beyond their level. You're getting the point I'm making. Now, so I just want to explain the fact that these things happened both ways. Amongst the idol people, and then this is a problem. A lot of Christians have never seen it in Christianity. So, if they see things like that, they are surprised. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I can again tell you that those days, on his side ministering, it was one of the reasons why he was going to die early. Because he had the ministry of a prophet. And he says that a prophet is known by the regular operation of at least two of these gifts. Apart from the fact that he preaches and prophesies, you will find the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then the sending of spirits. I will explain each one of them if I can. Okay? He said that you find that in regular manifestation. So someone like Kenneth Hagin will be teaching. And then suddenly you will have a vision. You know, someone may be like, as he's preaching, you just say, that man sitting down there, his last 2 days will just play before his eyes, maybe in a few seconds. You know everything that happened to that man in the last 2 days. And then God will now tell him what to tell the man to do about certain situations. And he will want to start, then he will look around and say, this people could say I'm a fortune teller. Then he will stop and continue teaching. After I did that for a while, one day he tripped somewhere and broke his arm. And while he was in hospital trying to fix his arm, the Lord appeared to him and said, look, you are first a prophet, then a teacher. And that what you have been doing is that you have been neglecting to prophesy, all right, or pray the ministry of the prophet, and all you've been doing is teaching. If I didn't stop you now, you will have died at the age of 55. I'm telling you the truth. And that he had to fall and break his arm so that they can have this talk. So after that, Kenegi will go everywhere. He doesn't care whether you like it or not. He will prophesy. Because he's prophesying towards long life and prosperity. You get the point I'm making? Now, so that's because sometimes Christians are not used to it. Alright? That is one. Then secondly, is that, again, most of the things I know from here, I read from Kenneth Hagin. Alright? I read a lot of from him. One of the things he explained then, that, again, is that people counterfeit. Now, of course, you counterfeit means there's an original. And let me say this. A lot of things we see in churches, I didn't say most, I said a lot. The fact that something's happening in the church doesn't make it authentic. A lot of things that we see is what they call operations of familiar spirits. What are familiar spirits? I'll describe them in a moment. But just know that there's what the Bible calls the word of wisdom and then the word of knowledge. I will explain what they mean, and I'll talk about familiar spirits later. What Ken Hagin said about it. Now, well, I've said all this to let you know that these things are real. And sometimes, if you have been under ministries like this for a long time, you may forget that they actually happen. I have friends that, if you give them a microphone to preach for 5 minutes, they see visions for 10 minutes. And they are not lying. That's just them. But if I start preaching, they will sit down and be writing everything I'm saying down. But let me hand out a microphone to them. Before they talk for 5 minutes, they've seen 3 visions. That's just their life. It doesn't mean, no, really. Each person has a gift. I'm serious. I'm serious about it. Now some things are quite attractive. When I say attractive, they pull the crowd. If you start seeing visions, you can be sure. See all these people, where they walk up and down, we don't know, say you did there. Eh? Once you start, they start coming to you. But one of the things I said earlier is that Paul said people were led in the practice of dumb idols. There was a way pagans did it. Do you understand? And let me say this boldly. A lot of white garment, you know what they call white garment churches? That's what they practice. That's what they practice. They practice divination. They use familiar spirits. That's why you are sure if you go there, they will see vision for you. Real Christian prophets cannot tell you when they will see vision for you. They can't. Ken Hagin will go for years and not see vision. That's it. I'm telling you. And he's a prophet. He can't. He will tell you that there's nothing. You can't tell me, please, see vision for me. There's nothing. Those who do it are those who operate familiar spirits. I'm serious. So see why government churches, you just walk there. Kneel there, a man will appear. Please, sir, see this photograph. This is Nkiru. This is Anne. And this is Mabel. Which one do I marry? And the man will start beating drum. The way they drum sometimes, you know they are conjuring up African spirits. Not even, not Holy Spirit. The man starts going into the motions. After a while, his shoulder starts jerking. He enters person. Hey, that ain't cute. Keep it. Maybe. If I had these three, none of them in jail. And the guy was thank you very much, sir. Carry his load and go. Anybody doing that has not only been deceived, he has opened the door for Satan to direct his life for life. One of the things that Christians do these days, everything they want to do, they must show a man of God. Let him pray whether it will work. We didn't finish talking about that. When he says that, in fact, this is how my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Kwaju, used to say it, that any man who does that has covered his head. And a man is not allowed to cover his head. The idea is that the man is supposed to have a direct communication with God. But they cover their head. You know why? It is easier, actually. You can blame somebody. Pastor, there are three jobs. Which one do I take? I'm not talking about taking wise counsel. Wise counsel is a different thing. You can discuss with people. You can ask advice from those who you feel have more understanding than you. Some people ask me, of course, if you come and say, there are three women, which one do I marry? I don't say you're the Christmas. So that one is out of the way. That is acute, severe madness. So I'm not interested. I only accept such counsel when it's things like job, house, journeys. You know, do I relocate or not? Then we'll start talking. Usually what I do is I tell you, okay, all right, there are three issues on ground. First, let's check your motivation. I counsel your motivation. Let's check your fears. Let's check your faith. Once we align those things properly, anyone you like do is the will of God. I'm going to start talking about the will of God again shortly. When we finish Bride of Christ, I'll talk about the will of God again. I'll talk about money management all over again. We can't say we discussed it before. Let's go over them again. People need to understand. I'll just give you advice based on, not because most of those things I don't even know. I've never been to the, maybe they come and take a job in Kuwait. I've never been to Kuwait. I've never been to South Africa. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've never been to Ghana. I have never worked in an oil company. Neither have I ever worked in a bank. I have never worked in a law firm. How can I advise you on which one to work in? But at least I know basic things. I know about motivation, spiritual motivation. I know about fears. I know about faith. There are people who would have loved to go to Ghana and they just feel like it's another African country. They can't prosper there. Do you get what I'm saying? And I say, no, that is not right. Then we explain the word of God. Do you get my point? Then afterwards, we leave you alone. You go and make your decisions. But familiar spirits, prophets who operate with familiar spirits, forget, they will see vision for you. As I began to pray, I saw that in Kuwait, they hung you by the neck and you died. As I continued to pray, in that Ghana, they mobbed you one day, all of them just used club to bleed your head. Next 10 jobs you show the man, he said, take none. In fact, Holy Spirit said you shouldn't leave your house for the next 1 year. Yeah, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. Poverty will finish. That is, oh my God. Yeah. Thomas Aremu, one of the bishops in Winners Chapel, said he went to school of ministry. When he started Winners in Ibadan, that was the problem. One of the problems he had to solve. One man, all his business had finished. You know why? He lived in Ibadan. His business was essentially operated in Lagos. And one white government prophet told him he couldn't go to Lagos Ibadan Express again. Hunger upon him, his wife and his children. He had his family in Ibadan. Business day Lagos. Upario, Baba couldn't go anywhere again. So one day somebody said, come, let me take you to another man of God who can liberate you from this bondage. So he went there. When he went there, they want to say, so the problem now is that you don't have no other problem that you can't go to Lagos. He said, no. He said, okay, don't worry. You will go to Lagos. Come, kneel down there. Father, let him go to Lagos. Let him be protected. I command you to go to Lagos in Jesus' name and come back. Oh, but thank you very much, sir. And the man got up, went to Lagos and came back and went and came back. And became a member of this church, at least. There's liberation here. There's one man I met, my friend was teaching in their school, a white government church. And this guy, there's one guy who used to come, when I go and visit him in the evening. I said, those days when money was very hard. Believe me, in Nigeria, money is softer now than then. Then it was hard, like rock. So, how many people drove to Kumbo? How much more brand new cars? This man used to buy his car brand new to tell how much money he had, a Ghanaian. This is business in Lagos, and he had the duplex in Surulere. Except that, you know where he used to sleep every night? On the pew inside the church. You know what they call pew? All these Pentecostals, you sit on plastic chair. Go proper church, if you don't remember proper church. And Paco, Iroko tree, doesn't bend. If you fall on it, you are scattered. Do you know this kind of Paco? The service can't be too long, because you should begin paying best. Service can't be too long. That's how the guy used to sleep. I'm serious. Why? He was in bondage. And the white government who prayed for him and liberated him in quotes and said, the only place where deliverance is now is to sleep on the pew. I said, this man is not in, he's not free. He's in bondage. He doesn't understand. That's how white garment people, look, I have had to pray white garment people out of people's homes. Not as a pastor, as a young man. Friends, please let us pray. Because they like to take people captives. They make people captives. What they do is just use, in fact, Pastor Chris will tell you about shamanism. I don't know much about shamanism. That's what Okoti talks about, shamanism. Well, what they call shamanism, okay, it has to do with divination and controlling things and all of that. It practices a lot in the pagan religions, all right? Now, this is what I'm just making. So this will use all those familiar spirits. And listen, Ken Hagin in one of his books narrated the fact that there was a pastor. I'm telling you, a lot of pastors use it. They don't realize it because it attracts people. Do you understand? It makes you come to your church. As soon as you begin, as they are singing, you just begin to see vision. Hey, you that just came in. The car almost jammed you just now. No, sir. Yes, sir. Last week, they promoted in the office. Yes. That is, and it's not lying. No. One thing after the other. Correct. Hey, there are spirits that people are mortal. You don't know. They just go around peeping at everything that happened to you. They come and report to the man. It's your guy that one he married last week. As you enter, just say, somebody here just came all the way from Akwa Ibom. And you mind the previous week in Port Harcourt? Yes, you are wearing a red shirt. Now, these are the things that turn people away from true manifestations, because there are true manifestations. Hagin was saying in that book, in one of his books I read, talking about people misusing the gift of the prophet. This guy, he will come to your house. And he's a teacher, you know, like a preacher. You know what he used to do. But you prophesy. Amen. You have 7,650 naira in the top drawer in your bedroom. The dressing, the chest of drawers is on the left as you enter. Right there is the 7,650 naira. God said you should give it to me. Listen. The chest of drawers is dead where he said it is. The 7,650, you know, such odd figures. They just got it correctly. What's the next thing you do? You go home. How can you disobey a man of God? He said he prophesied diamonds out of people's pockets. He just come to you and say, there is a diamond that your grandfather passed over to your mother. And your mother gave to you before she died. God said, give it to me. The diamond right now is lying at the head of your bed. Behind this, you hid it with a pillow so that nobody will know it's there. And it's not lying. I'm telling you. People will go around looking for vision. You go see vision, you go tire. You go see, look, vision correct, you're wrong. You know, it doesn't move me. It doesn't move me at all. Ah, the man used to see vision accurate. I have seen demons see more accurate visions. What's my problem? No, I'm serious. That's why it's so important for Christians to know that, look, they are real, but there are fakes also. Are you getting my point? Let me just try and say to who I'm describing what I'm saying. He said, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Let me explain what those things mean. Let me start with the word of knowledge. What's a word of knowledge? It just means to know something. But this is through the Spirit. You suddenly know something, become acquainted with something that you previously did not know. Let me give you an example. Maybe suddenly, you just know, as maybe, let me give you a practical story I've read. Not really happened to me, but something I read somewhere. Like, Hagin, in one of his books, was explained that a man, he saw a man prophesy to him and told him, look, this man, you were raised to believe there is no God. And there's no heaven and there's no hell. Right now, you're over the age of 70, and he had never met the man. He said, but consider this, right now you have one foot in hell and the other one is gently slipping in. You are looking at him. So that's what God said I should tell you. Later on, he said, as a matter of fact, he was raised by this kind of father, kind of mother. They said there's no God. He grew up not believing that there's God. Last week, he turned 71, something like that. And last week, he had his first heart attack. As an example, that's what the man meant when he said that you have one foot in hell and the other one is gently slipping in. Now, he had never met the man before. One of our seniors in school, the Bibini Ben, those days, how did he give his life to Christ? W.F. Kumuyi was preaching. And suddenly began to give what we call a word of knowledge. Just say something like, there's a young man sitting somewhere over there. It described the kind of, maybe you're from Anambra State. Currently, you go to school, University of Benin. You're an engineering student. And describing that God said, you must give your life to Christ now. Come forward. The man waited for a while. He didn't see anybody. He said, wait. Then he described him further. You are this height, you are like this, you are like that. The guy said, he didn't move. He said, I'm going to call your name next. The guy jumped up and ran forward. Because really, if he didn't, next thing the guy would do is tell you, look, your name is so-so-so and so-and-so person. And he had never met him. That's how that guy became a believer. Now, first, those stories are of fake things. All those ones that dig money out of your pocket. You know, the motive is to tell you the kind of spirit you are dealing with. Hagin talked about the preacher, that one who used to prophesy and collect jewelry and all of that. He was a real preacher. Actually, before he will see correct visions, he will see visions with terrible, I want to say terrible now, with seriously divine, miraculous manifestations. So you believe him. Tomorrow, he yields to evil spirits and they start telling him things, familiar spirits. But let's just sit on what Paul is talking about here. I just want us to understand that these things happen. All right? So what is the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge is that in which it just helps you. It suddenly God gives you. Actually, it's for the purpose of ministering to people. It's not for vainglory. Are you getting my point? I've seen people do it before. Their children fooling themselves. Just want to say, me too, I'm spiritual. I can see visions. I can have word of knowledge. I can, when I was in school, it was raining. We had brethren at that time. They're very unique in their manifestations. Before they preach for 5 minutes, they have to pause. And then they just give you an accurate description of somebody's life. And say that God says they should tell the person this, this, and that. And it's for the blessing of that person's life. I was Kenny Hagin once. He was ministering, and a man was diabetic. In fact, the way his own used to happen is that before he comes to the meeting, he just only have a vision. There's one young man, he's wearing maybe a red shirt and black trousers. The guy is going to sit on that particular seat. And he will enter the church. He will look at that seat and there's nobody like that. He will just ignore it and continue preaching. Next time he sees the guy has come, maybe he comes late and he sits there. And God will tell him, this is what is wrong with the fellow. This is his problem. This is his problem. Tell him. Because one of the things that thing does is that it stirs up faith in the heart of the person. You just say, hey, you sir, come. Some people will declare it openly. He just call you forward, tell you one or two things. Next thing they say, God says, I should pray for you and you're going to get healed now. I saw him do it to one man who was diabetic. You are getting the point I make? In fact, there was a man, William Myron Braham. Oh God, his own was something else. They are followers of his doctrines because he made a terrible mistake. Side teaching, he didn't know how to teach. He didn't even go to school Couldn't even read properly. What was he teaching? But he was heavily anointed as a prophet. 5 years before he died, Ken Hagin is also a prophet. God revealed to Ken Hagin that that guy is going to die in 5 years. December 65, the man died. He had a vision of this in December 59 or 60, something like that. So that man is only, let me give you one of the things that happened to him. Those are when they want to minister to people. You feel cursed because a lot of people come for, they are sick, they need ministration, hands laid on them for healing. And so sometimes you just walk up to him. You've written things down on card. So the person, his assistant is supposed to just bring out the card and say, oh, this is so and so person. So that he can save time. They would have interviewed you ahead of time. So because he was very heavily anointed and a lot of people he had to pray for. So just to save time, so you won't spend the whole time telling the story. 16 years ago, I first fell sick. Then I went here and then this happened and then this. No. The assistants already know what to tell him. They know what he wants to know. So they can go through it in 30 seconds. And he goes on with his ministration. Now, Hagin will tell that those days when things are difficult, they used to send the people to William Marion Brigham. He was very, very powerful. Sometimes people walk up to him and then before they read the card, you say, oh, you're Mr. John. You have come from Minnesota. And this is a problem. 6 weeks ago, doctor diagnosed that you had this kind of heart condition. You had an operation the following week. You had this kind of complication. He will tell you the whole story. He has not listened to his assistant. He has not seen the card. I look at him like, what? Say, yes. What he wants to do now is to turn around, run down there and back, and you are healed. And that's it. Obey him. Your problems are gone. Say, some young men, I say, no, this man must be spying. He must have a mechanism for checking what is on those cards. So they went and killed and wrote that they had certain problems. Let's just assume. Typhoid fever, a stroke, heart disease, and kind of, they just wrote it. Two guys. And they went and joined the queue. And there was nothing wrong with them. When they got to their turn, as soon as the one guy came up to him, I don't know whether he laid hands on him or the guy just stood in front of him, he just said, ah, what do I see before me? I see two young men who have purposed in their hearts to deceive the man of God. And they have written that they have this. He just read everything they wrote down. He said, now let it come upon them as they have declared. I'm telling you to let you know this has happened. No, really. You know, a lot of people don't. They get captivated by it, you know. But they happen. And I'm not talking about fake jokers like T.B. Joshua. I'm talking about serious people. Really. Sometimes, you know, no, really. I've seen people who had authentic manifestations, they derail after a while, because one of the things that Kenneth Hagin said is that people will be careful not to make these things happen. That for him, he does that when he's had the most powerful visions, powerful manifestations have been times he never even prepared for anything. He just came to preach and just walked. And that's it. The thing just began. There are times you just be ministering one by one to people. One person comes forward, he'll give you a word that God said he should tell you, that God said he should tell you specifically, just for you. Are you getting me? One after the other. He said, but people have to learn that it's as the Spirit wills. There are times he walks in having fasted and prayed for 4 days. He will finish teaching faith and go away nothing. And he has learned never to try because he has seen that those who tried, evil spirits love them. He whispered to you, you won't see vision. You go see vision now. You go see vision. I have found that personal experience. I've seen people like that. After a while, those evil spirits are very wicked. They always run the people mental. I'm serious. Those evil spirits are very wicked spiritual. Don't even go near them at all. Your spirits are visiting you. Better tell them to leave you alone. That you want to read the Bible. And it's true. So that's what they call a word of knowledge. Is that okay? People just know things. There are different ways by which God gives them. A lot of things, some may call it, for some people to appear like visions. If you remember, Elisha is a good example. When the Shunammite woman, all right, when she came, when her son died, and came to look for Elisha, and Elisha gave the staff. When the woman, he just said, who is that? He said, it's the Shunammite woman. And the woman was coming. And I think it was Gehazi or his servant, or one of his servants anyway. He just said, look, go and ask the woman, what's the problem? The woman said, it is well. And Elisha was there and said, what is going on? Why has God not revealed that this healing come? They said, God hasn't told me anything. He said, well, let's see what is happening. Then the woman I arrived and began to lament this and that. I told not to deceive me. You have deceived me now that I will have a son. I had the son. The son is dead now. What are we going to do? And Elisha said, look, God, I'm bringing out something. God did not reveal it to him that this woman's son was going to die or had died. It came upon him by surprise. Gehazi lied to Elisha. What does that tell you? Elisha didn't need to know everything. If Elisha was always knowing everything, going to go as a prophet, Gehazi would not have dared it. But he knew that most things that happened, Elisha didn't used to know. It just occasionally that God would just reveal things to the man. That's how it is with the prophets of God, real prophets. You can't decide when something happens or when it won't happen. Do you get my point? All right? So that's what we mean when we're talking about word of knowledge. Now, let me talk about word of wisdom. Okay, I wasn't going to explain the fact that sometimes it comes in visions. The person sees it in a vision. Other times, he doesn't see in a vision, doesn't he? But he just knows. I don't know how to explain that. You know, he just knows that this is the issue. He can't explain to you how come he knows, but he knows. Whatever it is, it's called a word of knowledge. Now, what's a word of wisdom? This is how people have described what a word of wisdom is. They say a word of knowledge is that which has to do with that which is happening now or has happened before in the past. And a word of wisdom has to do that which is going to happen in the future. That is, if you say, look, there's going to be like Agabus, you say there's going to be famine. So that's a word of wisdom. Now, I've reasoned a bit, and it didn't make sense to me, and I couldn't buy it. I believe whether it is present, future, or past, is a word of knowledge. But when God gives direction concerning what to do, let me give you an example. Pharaoh dreamt, and they walked up to, they called them Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream. That's a word of knowledge. And then he now told them what to do. Do you get the point I'm making? The interpretation of dream was about things that will come, we know. But then, he now had the supernatural ability to offer solution to that was going to happen. To me, that's a word of wisdom. I don't believe a word of wisdom has to look so dramatic. But my understanding, I'm insisting on the word wisdom. That is, take Moses, what's his name? Solomon as an example. They brought two women to him with two babies, the same age, all of them looking alike. They are babies. One is dead, one is alive. This woman said, this baby is mine. The other one said, no, that one is my own. It's a dead one that we don't know the owner. And this was a young boy. He was, at that time, maybe a teenager. And he was king in Israel, replacing his father, who was highly respected everywhere. What was he going to do? Suddenly he had an idea. And that idea solved the situation, didn't it? That was a word of wisdom. It was a word of wisdom. That's the way I understand it. It was a word of wisdom. Do you understand? Before him, nobody used that method. There was a difficult situation, a crisis matter, and then suddenly he knew exactly what to do. What am I saying? When somebody has a supernaturally endowed, unique point presentation concerning what to do to solve a difficult matter, the kind of wisdom that before then he did not have, in my opinion, that is what is called the word of what? Wisdom. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Let me just stop it here. I know I've talked about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then to another, faith by the same spirit. I'll talk about that faith, and because of what we've been saying about faith, what I wrote in Great Faith Can Be Yours, I need time to explain that one. Okay, let me just stop here. Let's stop in verse 8, and the next time we'll talk from verse 9. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.